Well, welcome to the Duff and Quarters podcast brought to you by Tab Touch. Today, round five. Do you believe it's round five already? Where does Buddy end up next year? Will the Eagles boo Lycett? Who plays where in Freo's big clash with GWS? And where did it all go wrong for Adelaide?
That was out of bounds.
I don't believe it. I see it, but I don't believe it.
Dennis, where are you? I need you right now.
What's your name?
You're quite brilliant.
Yeah, terrific.
Oh, that is... Oh, that's what it is.
The stadium holds its breath.
It's Duff and Quarters.
Brought to you by Tab Touch.
Well, hello everybody. It's Thursday. That means it's time for the second edition this week of the Duff and Quarters podcast. I have with me in the studio Glenn Quatermain, the sports editor of the Sunday Times. I am Mark Duffield, the senior football writer of the West Australian. We are brought to you by Tab Touch and Quarters. This is the podcast where...
We don't think, we do.
As John Kennedy told Hawthorn. Now...
Three-quarter time of the 75 grand final.
So that was that was the one they lost.
Yeah, getting pantsed. He just wanted to make a statement. Don't think. Do. Do something.
Do something.
Don't come off the ground and say you've done nothing. Do
anything.
Do anything. Just do something. It's good advice.
Very good advice.
Round five, Duff. Already.
Yes, I know. Yes, it creeps up on you, doesn't it? Well, it kind of just flies along, doesn't it? Once you get into it.
You get through round one takes forever. To come upon you, and then it just flies after that.
And we've got a very, very busy few days because we've got the overlap of the Easter round into the Anzac round quarters.
So I love it because I love Thursday night footy and I love Monday night footy. To me, I'd like an elongated round every week. I love the idea of Monday nights. I love the idea of Thursdays. Too much. Often it gets a bit congested over the weekend. It's a bit hard to watch everything, siren to siren. So I just like it.
Could be bad for a lot of marriages, I think, Glenn. I think.
Well, your partner's allowed to watch the game with you, Duff?
Yes, no, my partner is happy to watch the games with me. Not all everybody's partner
as
is happy
mine most
to
of the time.
I think not everyone has partners that are as understanding and as
of course
as,
not
as flexible as ours, Glenn.
Of course not, Duff.
So let's get straight into it. And see if we can come up with some tips. How did you go last week, by the way?
Not good.
No?
No. 3 for me last week. It's appallingly bad, although I got a lot of mates out there. It's really tough. This year is the toughest start to the year I can remember in terms of tipping. But it'll turn. I'm confident. So
I'm in. I just had a look at the tipping panel in today's pre-game lift out, and I'm going at under 5 around.
And you're still ahead of me by 2, I think.
And I think the leader of our tipping panel is 1 ahead of me. So everyone in our tipping panel is averaging fewer than 5 tips around.
Bit like the AFL itself at the moment, Duff. Anyone can win on any given day.
There'll be some year 2 student out there who's tipping on the colours who's going at about 7 around.
Oh, well, good luck to him.
Yes.
Good luck to him.
And I don't think we'll catch them before the end of the year, Glenn.
No. A bit of scuttlebutt the last couple of days about Buddy. Some innuendo at Sydney that all is not well behind the scenes, and perhaps they are looking at a way to release him from the final 4 years. You'd be silly not to have a look at Buddy. I'd assume if it happened, look, I'm not assuming anything. He'd probably see out his days in Sydney. I think he's certainly happy there.
Mm.
But you'd be silly not to look at it. I think Melbourne clubs would be lining up.
So who does he make sense for, given...
It makes sense for everyone, Duff, really.
Does he?
Well, I think so. I mean, he's good players are good players. And I know he departed Hawthorn, and Hawthorn, it's funny to say, but was a better team because we became too Buddy reliant, I guess, the Hawks. But I think good
Did
players...
Did you pick up the wee there, listeners?
Well, we know that I'm a Hawthorn man. We know that. I just think good players are good players, and he's a generational player, and of course he's going to fit into any system.
How old is he now?
Buddy would be 31.
I'm looking it up as we speak.
That's a guess.
That to me would be buyer beware.
Okay. Caveat emptor.
He's now 32 years of age. He has an early birthday. which means he'll be 33 before the start of next season. And
there's a lot of love in the room still for him at the Hawks. We'll take him back, Duff.
Yeah, the way the game's played now, I reckon, I think he was a great get for Sydney. Didn't quite pay off, but he was their best player in a losing cause in the 2014 Grand Finals.
Yeah, well, let's call that now because that window's shut. It's Sydney.
Yeah, correct.
That's shut.
Yeah. So it's somewhat... what about a Melbourne?
Yep.
But it's got to be the right deal. I think if Lance Franklin's coming to you on a...
You'd be a bit scary. The four is scary.
Yeah, I'd be wanting Sydney to pay half the big numbers in the contract. So I'm told the contract was a funny one because it was, unless they've changed the nature of the contract, it peaked about two-thirds of the way through the contract. So he's probably at his peak earning power now, and then it tapers a little bit at the end.
Unlike most contracts, which are front-ended or back-ended, this was front-ended, middle-ended, back-ended. It was a long contract, Duff. So.
Yes, that's right. So I would want Sydney to be paying $400,000 or $500,000 over the next year or 2 years, and then maybe after that you might be able to pick up the entirety of the contract for the last year or so. Yeah,
no silverware, but has been good for Sydney, buddy. Has drawn people to the game, has captivated people. So I think it's been a win for Sydney, despite the fact there's been no silverware.
Yeah, and he was a star in a losing grand final team. I mean, everyone talks about, you know, you've got to win the flag. You've got to have hope. That's what you've got to have, and that means you've got to have a competitive team or the hope of a very competitive team in the near future.
I still remember him. People think of Buddy and they think of the big goal hauls and the spectacular goals on the run. I still remember him hobbling around in the last quarter against the Western Bulldogs on grand final day, clearly incapacitated, but just having a crack.
Mm.
That's what I remember about Buddy.
Well, I remember Buddy for the haul against Adelaide at Marvel Stadium in his first big final, which is going back to, I reckon, 2007.
Yeah.
And I think he kicked 8.
Yeah.
And
kicked his 100 that day, I think, too.
Kicked the big goal right near the end.
That sealed it.
That sealed the game.
From the left-hand pocket.
Yeah, and he did the double Buddy fist pump, backing away from the crowd, sort of like saying, I'm the man. That to me, was one of Lance Franklin's standout.
I remember his first game, actually, at the MCG against Richmond. And I was sitting in a pocket, and I just remember this big gangly kid running up to a pocket and thinking, like, gee, I'm interested. Interesting looking cat, this one. And kicked a couple and just looked at, you know, you could see there's just that was it.
Oh, he always had that look, didn't he? I went along to a game. He was playing for Wesley, and Mitch Morton was playing for Hale. And it basically became Lance Franklin versus Mitch Morton, a game of Allco Cup footy. But Buddy always had the swagger. You know, the way he moved around the ground, you just knew he was going to be a star. He had that star quality even back in those days.
Well, let's hope there's a bit of footy left in him, Duff.
Absolutely.
We'll miss him when he's gone.
The biggest star of his time.
Yeah. And Good Friday, you happy with Good Friday footy?
Yeah, I'm okay with Good Friday footy. As long as it's done properly and it's as long as it's done so that people who are religious can go to their church service and do what they feel that they need to do on that day, then, yeah, I don't have a problem with Good Friday footy.
I agree.
Our lives don't stop on these days anymore.
No, they don't.
So I don't see why.
Let's tip some winners, Duff. Tonight, the Jane Beams Cup.
I'm going with Collingwood.
Brisbane v Collingwood at the Gabba. Collingwood's won 8 of their past 9 against Brisbane.
Yes, well, that probably figure doesn't mean a lot, does it, given Brisbane's improvement and given this is at the Gabba.
And let's not forget sellout there. So that's what Brisbane's start to the year and also Collingwood's presence has done. Biggest crowd since 2010 when they were caught up in Favola fever, if you hark back to those days.
And I reckon on this day, on a similar day, at a similar time of year in 2010, I reckon Brisbane beat Collingwood with Fev starring.
Yeah, they had a really good start to the year, didn't they? And then they fell away. Let's hope that they don't fall away this year. I can't see it happening. It was an unusual time. But 42,000, the Gabba, thereabouts?
Well, it's been reconfigured, so I think the crowd is more likely to be about 34, 35.
Is it? Okay.
But it will be full.
It will be good. Brisbane was on the nose last week. We expect it's a home game. With what we've seen so far this year, they're a vastly improved team. So it's very much The Lions are very much in with the show here. I've picked Collingwood, I guess, on faith of what is to come rather than what has been.
Yeah, I'm going with Collingwood. To me, some of Brisbane's wins up there have been with they beat West Coast, who picked a bad team. I think they picked a young team and they picked a tall team. That doesn't work up there in the humidity. And Port Adelaide, obviously, Port were in front deep into the last quarter. So I think Collingwood is better than Port Adelaide. So I think Collingwood can get
it done. Two pretty good midfields head-to-head here.
Yeah, should be a cracking game.
Should be a cracking game. A lot of it will come down to matchups.
Do Collingwood tag Lachie Neale?
They generally don't tag.
Yeah, and I don't reckon Lachie's the player you tag.
I'm not sure if they do, mate. I think they just go head to head and back their midfield, because if their midfield wins, then they're obviously they will win. Degoe's the interesting one for Brisbane. Do they get Gardner onto him? I assume it's Andrews onto Cox. So there'll be some really intriguing little subplots in this game as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the other one is if Collingwood do decide to tag and it's not Lachie Neale, is Hugh McCluggage going to start drawing a tag?
He's been good. Very good so far this year.
Very classy player.
Yeah, high-end draft pick, so we expected it. Fourth year now?
Third year.
So but this is the year we expect. Always burst out of the blocks, always second year's tough, and third year at start of a really long build. So he's in that phase now and producing consistent footy every week. So we're both on the Pies.
So what's your margin?
I think it'll be about a three-goal win to the Pies.
A three-goal win to the Pies? Mm. Yeah, I reckon about 20 points. I reckon you're about right.
Good Friday footy, the first of North Melbourne v Essendon at Marvel Stadium. A win to North Melbourne last weekend, but barely convincing. Essendon, however, was really convincing, running into some form. I don't know what happened to them in the first 2 weeks of the season. It was just void of confidence, and but they've got me at the moment, so I'm back on the Bombers. I'm picking them to win this, I think, reasonably comfortable. Sam Wright, perhaps, for McDonald, Tip and Woody.
I'm looking forward to more halftime interviews with Connor McKenna, because that's just fantastic. You cannot understand a word he says. He talks very quickly and he talks very Irishly, but he gives them fantastic run off halfback.
Duff, I can't understand half of what the players say, whether they're Irish or not.
No, that's true. They do speak a different language, players. Loved McDonald, Tip and Woody's game last week. I love the fact that Essendon are now starting to play to their strengths, which is outside run, quick ball movement, get it in there. And the other player I love at the moment is Michael Hurley. I think Michael Hurley is in outstanding form at the moment.
I think Brisbane and Essendon are two of the teams, the more attractive teams to watch. Mm. And Essendon, when they're in full flight, it's a thing of great beauty, despite the fact that I've got a pathological hatred for the club. But it is still a thing of great beauty when they're on the fly.
Yes, I agree. I think Essendon wins comfortably by about 5 goals.
Yeah, I'm with you. Okay, on to Friday twilight, West Coast v Port Adelaide, the Scott Lysette Cup, Duff.
Yes, and this will not only be twilight, this will be hail light. Mm. It's tipped to be very, very wet. Scotty Lysette says, boo me if you want to. Which will be fine. But
I'm not sure if they will. They've just come off a flag where he was an integral part. So I'm not so sure if the boo. If there are boos, there'll be boos because it's a habit.
Yeah, they do make a habit of booing.
But I don't think there'll be any vitriol behind them. I think he has been part of a flag there. So I think there'll still be a bit of love for him there. Won 6 of the last 9, the Eagles. I'll tell you one thing. These games are becoming one of the real contests. And we've seen some cracking finishes recently. There'll be some drama.
We see the drama in Adelaide. Generally, West Coast handles them and handles them pretty easily over here. And in fact, I remember the game around about this time last year where Kenny Hinkley came off lamenting a loss of minus 42 in contested possession. They can't afford to have that happen again. And West Coast will be looking to make a bit of a statement, I reckon, around some of the more contested sides of the game, because while their ball use and all that stuff is pairing along nicely, their system is working nicely, but they've been losing a few of those other contested sides of the game. And I think that Adam Simpson will want to start putting a few ducks in the row ahead of the bigger games in the latter half of the season. They'll be looking for a pretty tough at the coalface sort of a game tonight. I think West Coast will win. The wet weather makes me discount the margin a little bit, but yep. I'm thinking 4 to 5 goals.
7 seasons, 100 games, Mark Hutchings. It's been a he's worked hard for that career.
He works hard for every game.
He does.
Mark Hutchings. Mark Hutchings said in an interview earlier this year that he has to be at his absolute best to be in the team.
And he has been in recent times.
He gets the best out of
himself. Who does he get this week? Ollie Wines?
If Robbie Gray's around the middle, he goes to Robbie Gray.
Been a bit off the bit, Robbie Gray?
Yeah, struggling a bit. Mm. And which makes him a good target for a tagger. You've got one of their absolute gun players, one of their keys to being a good team. He's down a bit, keep him down. I would, as long as Robbie Gray's up around the middle, I would be sending Mark Hutchings to Robbie Gray.
So I'm picking West here by about 4 goals.
Yeah, 4 to 5 for me. It would be 8 or 9 if it was dry.
Saturday, GWS v Frio in Canberra. It might be hailing here on Friday, but I can guarantee you it'll be cold there on Saturday.
Well, it's okay while the sun's up in Canberra. When the sun goes down, it gets bitterly cold.
So I don't want to get ahead of ourselves re-selection, but there's a few possibilities here, Darcy being one to come in.
Yeah, so Fremantle were training this morning down at Coburn. Sean Darcy didn't look like a player who was training with the main group about to come into the team. Okay. That doesn't mean he won't, but he didn't look like he was doing most of
the work. Well, enjoy your day, Rory Lobb, then, against the big mummy.
Rory Lobb will probably be playing against Mumford. The one who looked likely to come in if Joel Hamling doesn't get up from concussion, and the feeling is that he probably won't, is Brennan Cox. So we're not looking at...
So he slots into defence. Jesse can go forward, play a bit of midfield perhaps if he's required.
That's right. Nathan Fyfe comes back. And the other one that there was a close watch on at training was Hayden Ballantyne. Hayden Ballantyne was in and out of the main group. So whether or not...
Well, if he's fit, he'll probably come in.
He's and Lachie Schultz was away from the main group with a bandaged knee. So it may be that it might be Cox and Fyfe for Schultz and Hamling. That might be the two changes.
Well, if Hogan does stay forward, it's disappointing because I was hoping we were going to see the octopus Sam Taylor on the catfish, Cam McCarthy. Could have been a bit of a SeaWorld theme about it. I don't think that's going to happen.
You're always amusing yourself with a bit of wishful thinking, aren't you?
Oh, I love it.
And not great news for the Dockers this afternoon. Their flight has been delayed, so there's already been a setback on the travel arrangements.
Look, you can just console yourself, read a good magazine with the fact that when you land at the other end, you'll be in Canberra.
Terrific.
Oh, that's lovely. A lot of history.
The place we always want to go, Canberra.
Go for a run around Lake Burley, Griffin, you know, pop into a few of those shops. No, don't, actually. obviously, a lot's been said about GWS's forward line, the two Jeremys, a midfield that's full of Ferraris. There's a couple of Ferraris in the Frio midfield too. Fyfe probably coming back being one of them. Mundy's a... sort of a Ferrari, maybe a Beamer.
No.
He's more like a utility that just gets the job done every day.
Mundy's your Toyota Land Cruiser. Yeah. He's your four-wheel drive that just keeps over all terrain.
The Frio midfield, you know, sometimes they are like an old EH with a bench seat, the column shift, aren't they? Just every now and then the wheels go in the gravel, but always find their way back on the road.
So Matty DeBoer probably goes to his former teammate, Nathan Fyfe, tags him in this game. That'll be an interesting battle.
It will be. He's claimed he's had victories on some big scalps this year, so that will be probably the most intriguing subplot of the game, I think.
And that might be okay for Frio. We're talking to Ed Langdon today down at Fremantle. He said that when a player gets tagged, what he is expected to do is to go and try and create a one against two. And Nathan Fyfe is a player who can do that, because he's so strong in the contest, and that should leave, in theory, another Fremantle player free. And the other thing, that if the tagger goes to Nathan Fyfe, what it means is there is no tagger anywhere near Michael Walters, and I think that would be a good outcome for Frio. But then they just have to stop Keneally O'Kelly.
Of course.
And Lockie Whitfield.
Hopper.
Taranto.
Yeah, let's keep going.
Yeah.
I think the thing with Fyfe, though, if you do a successful day for DeBoer, he's still going to get 20-plus, probably, Fyfe, and probably 8 to 10 clearances. So he's still, you're never going to nullify him. I think we've seen in recent weeks Dusty have a dirty day and really taken it. I don't think you'd take Fyfe out of the game. You can sort of disempower him, but you can't take him out of the game. He's still going to have an influence.
I think GWS are in great form quarters. I'm tipping them to win this one. They play very well in Canberra. I'm tipping them to win this one.
Yeah, I'm not sure if they've had a loss there.
But six goals.
Yeah, I'd be around that margin. I might even go a little bit higher, so 7-8. Melbourne at V St Kilda in the MCG. I had to think about this game. I'm not going to say I have faith in Melbourne, but I am going to say I'm not convinced with St Kilda yet being able to defeat Melbourne on this occasion. Melbourne's had a win. They'll draw a little bit of confidence from that. I'm going to pick Melbourne, but on shaky grounds. I think it'd be about a 3 or 4 goal win. St Kilda playing a lot better this year. A bit of a slower brand of footy, but a controlled brand and a smart brand. And they've managed to, what, they're 3-1. So, they've started the year well. You could mount a case for them. Those B-grade midfielders are starting to look a bit more like A-grade midfielders. I still think Melbourne building into something. Some great midfielders there who were quite early. Oliver was, starting to come into some great form. So as long as Max Gawn, and he will have his work cut out. Marshall's had a good start to the year.
Yeah, he's a good player, Marshall.
Yeah, but Max Gawn, as long as he gets on top and that midfield gets on top, and as long as Melbourne can make use of their dominance inside 50, then I think they'll win this by about 3-4 goals.
Yeah, massive game for Melbourne, I think. And I'm a bit the same as you. I'm not convinced about either of these teams yet.
They need to find goals from other places. Nathan Jones isn't going to kick 3 again.
Well, he's not going to kick 3 many weeks.
No.
Is he?
He was terrific last week, and he sort of said, come with me, boys. We're going to win this game. I'll lead here. But they need the Melksham's and these types to, and probably Petraka. These types too.
I think Melksham and Petraka are the two keys to their forward line, really. They give him those big mid-sized targets, takes a bit of heat off the main guys, Tommy McDonald and Young Wiedemann. And the other thing, they need to defend well, because what will happen, Melbourne can become a bit panicked in defence, and St Kilda are a very, very good pressure team. So if the Saints get them pinned in where the ground is narrow and Melbourne are trying to get out, we could see some St Kilda scoring. I'm going to tip Melbourne by 15 points.
Richmond v Sydney at Marvel. I lost faith in Sydney last week. I'm jumping off. So look, the Tigers were great. They get Dusty back. Tom Lynch, 6 goals. It'll be a hard day at the office for Lear. So I'm picking Richmond to win this reasonably comfortably. Kieran Jack, 250 games for Sydney too. So congratulations to Kieran Jack.
Great effort by Kieran Jack. Sydney, I'm with you. I think they're mediocre. I think they face a year in transition. They have to find the genesis of a new midfield. And I think that's what this year is going to have to be about. And that may mean that Buddy does go on the trade table at the end of the year, because that's going to be a high priority for them. And they have young McCartan, who may stump up as some sort of tall forward in future years. And they have Isaac Heaney, who's clearly a very, very good mid-sized forward. And there are feelings that that's going to be where he plays his best footy. So that end of the ground they've got covered. But
geez, the midfield's going to be, if Zach Jones goes...
Yeah, well,
they're going to be in a bit of trouble.
He's almost a must keep, isn't he? So Zach Jones.
So there's a few clubs into Zach Jones.
Zach Jones has a lot of leverage in contract negotiations. Mm. I would have thought, given the current state of play in Sydney.
So we're both on the Tigers.
We're both on the Tigers comfortably. I reckon by 7 goals this one, Quarters.
Yeah, look, I'm going to say about 3 goals, 3 to 4 goals here.
You think the Swans can lock it
well,
down?
Well, no, I think Sydney, Richmond, we saw the old speed and hustle last week and the pressure. That's what we saw last week. And I'm assuming that's going to be to the fore again this week. So that will help them. But I just think Sydney will give a bit of a yelp. They're 1-3, and it's the spotlight's been on them a bit. So I expect an answer, yep. But I don't think it'll be good enough to get them over the line.
Yep.
On to Sunday, Western Bulldogs v Carlton at Marvel Stadium. I'm picking the Western Bulldogs. Carlton frustrated me last Sunday. It was I hated watching that finale. I picked them, obviously. And I got it right all but 13 seconds.
Was it one of those ones where it's like watching...
Found a way to lose.
It's like watching a movie where you've been told the ending, but you hate the ending anyway.
It, you know, that was to go back to my Seinfeld highlights, that was a loathsome, offensive brute, yet I couldn't look away.
Couldn't look away, yes, exactly.
Bont v. Cripps will be, I hope they go head-to-head and just let them go for it this week, because two of the form players of the competition, two players we'll be watching for the next 10 years are admiring their freakish talents. I hope it's a head-to-head. I'll be watching it for that.
So, and the other player I'll be watching in this one is young Aaron Norton, who's emerging as a really good young key.
One of the best contested marks in the comp, and just puts his body on the line. And he's, the thing about Aaron Norton is it's not just contested marking. He has that ability to take marks. Few have it too, just from positions where you think it's unattainable.
He's elastic.
Yeah.
In the air, isn't he? He can bend his body into positions where
and
he has
a fair bit of courage
could.
Too.
Yeah. Doggies by how much?
Doggies by 2 goals.
What happens if it's a big loss?
And Carlton?
And Brendan Bolton slides
in trouble.
To 0-5.
Well, he's in trouble. They should be better. They've had the early round draft picks. They've got a list. I know it's young, but they should be winning games of football. They should not have lost last week. I think he's in trouble.
Okay.
And I've been on him for a long time. I've been supportive of him for a long time, but I just think it's time. It's not next week. It's time. Just start producing. Start winning some games. He has to.
Yeah.
Supporters just, they're patient lot, but they're not that patient.
No, when you're putting out a lot of top-end talent, you at least need to be able to see the signs of that top-end talent starting to come through. So they need, whatever happens in the win-loss column this weekend, they need strong games from Petrescu Seaton, from Charlie Curnow, Sam Walsh has played strongly all year.
Yeah, he's 4 games into his career. He's a rising star. We'll probably win that this year.
Young Mackay down forward. You know, he's another one. Yeah, you know, these are the guys. Their supporters need to be able to look at these guys and say we can hang their hat on these guys for 9 or 10 years to come.
Someone needs to kick a bag, Mackay, Curnow, get a bit of confidence out of it and go on with it. That's the problem at the moment, I think, is those midfielders are just streaming forward and there's just not a lot of confidence in where they're kicking it, in the patterns, in the ability to take a clunk, and it's just not happening at the moment.
Margin?
I think 2-3.
Yeah, might be a bit, I reckon 5-6.
Adelaide v Gold Coast at Adelaide Oval. Eddie Betts, 300 game stuff. Let's talk about Eddie for a moment. He's at the tail end of his career.
Mm-hmm.
His form hasn't been great. It was okay last week. But what a great career. What a highlights reel. I must admit, when he transferred from Carlton, I had my doubts. But he has just been such a magnificent player for Adelaide, has captivated that Adelaide Oval. They love him there. And I think you think of Eddie's career and you think of him dancing along the boundary line after kicking a freakish goal. He'll be missed when he retires. I hope there's a little bit left in him. I'm picking Adelaide. I think Eddie Betts will have a good day. That's my tip.
What happens if Adelaide loses this?
Well, I think Adelaide's in trouble anyway, Duff. I hark back to last year. I keep going on about it, but they were in a grand final. They were beaten by a side that would have beaten anyone. Richmond were just going to win that grand final on the day. They did nothing wrong that year except lose one game when it counted. And then they go into a pre-season with this stupid idea that the players need some sort of shake-up. I mean, obviously, they're a resilient group. They lost their coach. The coach was murdered, Duff. So it wasn't as if they lacked resilience.
Mm.
And they go into last year with this, it's just really upset the bond, the unity. You can just see, I don't see any connection between those players out on that footy field. It's 22 guys running around, really not supportive of each other. I think they lack leadership. But I think this is a home game. This is a big occasion. There's enough talent in that forward line. If they get it, they're going to get a fair bit of it in the midfield. They just need to get that connection right and create a bit of space, get a bit of system going again in that forward line, of which there has been none, and I think it'll be a reasonably comfortable win. That's taking nothing away from the Gold Coast have been, you know, I mean, Adelaide's 1-3, Gold Coast are 3-1. I'm tipping we wouldn't have suggested it would be those numbers at the start of the year. Would it have been reversed?
No, definitely not. Gold Coast have been fantastic. They're a bit lucky to squeeze out of the win last
weekend. They've been lucky a couple of times, but they've won three games. So
yeah, absolutely.
You've got to get yourself in the position to win it, and then you've got to be good enough to pull it off.
W's and L's, mate.
That's right.
And they've got three W's and one L. I fear for what might happen at Adelaide if they don't get it done here. I expect they will get it done. I'm not quite the same as you. I think they need their big forwards to stand up. And I think Taylor Walker has to stand up. And I think Josh Jenkins has to stand up.
I think Josh Jenkins is under a bit more pressure than Taylor Walker.
And that's assuming that Josh Jenkins plays. Because yeah. I think there comes a time with Josh Jenkins where you almost need to say, well, we've got Tom Lynch as a lead-up player. We'll reposition Taylor Walker deeper and play him as a full forward who comes out on the lead and hopefully kicks us three or four.
They have to do something.
I think they need to get Eddie Betts closer to goal. And to do that, they need a taller player who's prepared to fly in a contest closer to goal and get the ball on the deck. At the moment, Eddie Betts only kicks it about 40 metres. And at the moment, Eddie Betts is getting a lot of his touches 45, 50 metres out from goal, which means he's getting goal assists. And he's contributing, but he's not kicking the goals that we expect Eddie Betts to kick. They've had precious little input from either of their tall forwards. I think that is going to be the key. And they need to start getting it right in a game like this to hopefully build it into the bigger games that will confront them further down the track.
Only team that hasn't lost the goal goes to 11 from 11.
Yeah, well, I think it'll be 12 from 12. I reckon it might get a bit jittery. I think it'll be under 20 points, this one.
On to Monday, final game of the round, Hawthorn v Geelong. Form says Geelong. Form and fitness says Geelong.
This is the old rivalry.
And I'm picking Geelong. But it's Hawthorn-Geelong. So anything can happen. They're cracking games of footy, generally speaking.
Jaeger O'Meara fit?
Yeah, I think Jaeger's coming back.
Okay.
He'll be coming. If he doesn't play, then Hawthorn's no chance. If he plays, Hawthorn is definitely a chance, as they always are in Hawthorn-Geelong games. I would still back that Geelong midfield over Hawthorns at the moment, though. Dangerfield, Kelly, Selwood, Parfitt. I mean, we're talking Warple and O'Meara and Scully. But just those players, I guess the depth is there more for Geelong than it is for Hawthorn. Cousins is a good player, misuses it at times, but a good player. So both got stack of talent in the forward line, both got good defences. So let's hope it's one of those great Geelong Hawthorn arm wrestles. Someone gets five goals out, then the other side reels them back in, and they're ripping games, aren't they?
Yep, I think there may be a big one coming from P. Dangerfield in this one.
It does save him for Hawthorn. Well, actually, he plays well every week. But
he was disappointing last week. He got a bit rattled by the tag.
Well, they were a bit disappointing last week.
So I get the feeling that. And I get the feeling that Hawthorn, if they do tag, may send the tag to Kelly because he had the great start to the season, and then. People forget that De Boer was going between Kelly and Dangerfield last week, and he pretty much nutted them both.
That'll be Daniel Howe. He had his first game back last week, so he'll be better for that run.
So I reckon he'll go to Kelly and try and nut Kelly and shut him down. I reckon Danger might have a big one. I think Geelong by three goals.
Yeah, I would say by three goals.
Hopefully we have a better week on the tipping table quarters. Hopefully we climb the tipping ladder a little bit at the end of this round.
Let's hope so, Duff.
And, of course, then we've got the major events of the Anzac round to follow on from this one. So a great 2 weeks of footy for everybody. We've been brought to you by Tab Touch. Thanks for joining us today. Good luck with your tipping. Good luck with supporting your team. And we'll be back on Tuesday to look at the ramifications of the round.
This has been the Duff and Quarters podcast, brought to you by Tab Touch.